you're learning brachos this year, at least most of you. Those that aren't in Rabbi Rosa's work here, I was told that everyone's in a very different place in brachos. So I thought I would discuss something which is shavah l'chol nefesh, and also sits at the boundary between brisker what and existential why. I know a lot of people question that. How do you get to the why? And some briskers avoid it because they want to focus entirely on crunching the numbers and parsing all the logic, and the why can confuse and contaminate the purity of that process. But anyone that wants to get to the why knows that you have to get to the why by first atomizing the what, first defining things, and then say, oh, now that we've defined the halacha, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu generate, why would he craft the halacha in this fashion rather than another fashion? And I think that synergy between the why and the what, or the what and the why in sequential order, is felt most palpably in brachos, because brachos is about avodas Hashem and kabbalas malchus shemayim and tefillah and brachos and zimun. So the desire to look into the why and not just to be satisfied with the what is even more acute, is more compelling. Not that you should ever ignore the why, but you're learning, I don't know if you're learning now, what are they up to in daf yomi, elam metzias. Not also the Messias and the Thimishur Asadin, Hashem the Shivim. But let's say not. Let's say you're learning Ezeo, not Ezeo Neshech, but Hazav. The Lachas of being Kona Kesef and being Kona Zav. So obviously you want to understand why Hashem crafted a society where this Kenyan works and that Kenyan doesn't work, but you get a sense that it's only very, very marginally related to our lives, or at least in our ability to extract it from Torah. When you learn Mesechas Brachos, you're standing right in front of that prism of why. And the what shall lead you into this. Let's try to think about a little some of those questions today regarding the first halacha that arises, Me'emesai Karanishma Arvis. What's his mana kriyashma? So the Mishnah right away introduces a fascinating timestamp. Mishasha konim ochlim b'tumasim. I guess I asked for a Gemara, and everyone has a Gemara, so I'll just try to be more external. Mishasha konim ochlim b'tumah. When the konim first eat truma. Now the Gemara quickly deciphers that to be Tzeisa Kochavim. And that's the psak, that's Zman Kriyash Matzar, it's at Seis. So the question is, why didn't the Gemara, why didn't the Mishnah actually say Tzeis HaKuchav, if that's what the deadline or that's what the timestamp is? Now, there may be stylistic reasons. We then also see a warning, a shout-out to the Kohanim. It was 130 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Kohanim were no longer eating Truma D'Oraisa, eating Truma D'Rabbanan, so it's a nice way to start the entire Mishnah, this entire Bavli. But it's something that was halachic resonance to this decision. This raises a very, very interesting question. Is Kriya Shema really a function of night and by extension of day, like other mitzvahs hayom and mitzvahs halayla, which are listed in the Mishnah Megillah? Again, most mitzvahs are mitzvahs hayom, k'shem kol hayom, there's some mitzvahs halayla, k'tzira sa'omer, hekder chalav mevarim. So is Kriya Shema a mitzvah that happens to occupy both time frames, because there's one or two mitzvahs? We'll talk about that a little bit later. Or do we say that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is not time-framed by formal categories of Laila V'yom? That's why the Mishnah avoids Tzeis HaKuchavim, because that would be the start time for Laila. Because when the Torah describes the mitzvah, it describes it as B'shachbecha Uvkumecha. And there's only one Gemara, but this becomes a very powerful refrain in the Rishonim. The Gemara, when it quotes the Machlokes, B'shamay and B'tzorah, B'shamay felt that the Shachbecha Uvkumecha, if you have the Gemara, so you know, it's a very famous Mishnah, as the Mishnah on Daf Chesam and Beis, so Yudim and Beis. So Beishame Omrim Ba'erev Kol Adam Yate V'Yikra V'Boka Yamot. Night you should recite Kriya Shema while in a state of reclining, and during the day you should be standing, because it says B'Shach B'Cha V'Kumecha. Now Hillel, Beis Hillel, was staunchly opposed to that, and you know, we all know the story of the Tarfon, who tried to mimic that, and because he disobeyed the Chachamim, Chachamim were very, very harsh with him. But how does Hillel interpret B'shach B'chav V'kumecha? If it's not dictating posture, why would the Torah write B'shach B'chav V'kumecha? So the Mishnah says, Im kein lama nema u'b'shach B'chav V'kumecha b'sha'a shebnei adam shochvim u'b'sha'a shebnei adam kamim. Now when Hillel said, B'sha'a shebnei adam shochvim, B'sha'a, did he mean, oh, B'sha'a, don't be so radical, you have to stand. It just means time that people normally sleep and people normally get up, which we know to be tzeis and, let's say, netzachama. Or did Beis Hillel have two statements? Number one, Beis Shama, you're radical. You don't have a dictated posture. Say it wherever you want. Again, the why, I'll try to bring the why into this as much as possible. Kavalos Malchus Shemaim can't be formalized. Kavalos Malchus Shemaim, in order to be tethered to reality, has to be in whatever state you want. If Kavalos Malchus Shemaim through Kriya Shema is going to become too formal or become too severed from reality, you'll walk into some formal bubble, you recite Kriya Shema, you'll read a proclamation, and you'll go off into your SUV and go find the rest of your life. So Kriyat Shema shouldn't be formalized because it would hollow it out or disconnect it from reality. And not only that, Reish Hillel says, by the way, my pshat for B'shach B'cha V'Kumecha is that it is time-bound by the time people sleep and the time people rise, not day and night. So this is a phrase that appears only once in the entire Shas, although it does seem to be very, very resonant in Rishonim, that the halacha of Kriyat Shema is not based on Laila V'Yom, but based on Zman Shchiva and Zman Kima. This question is addressed by possibly many issues that arise in the Gemara. First of all, the Gemara Daf Beis in the verse. The Gemara says, when it tries to decode what B'Shah Shakonim Ochlim Metruma is, it says, Afapi She'ein Afapi, if you have the Gemara Daf Beis in the verse, I want to say it outside, if you have the Gemara, you can look at it inside. Daf Beis in the verse, the Gemara says, Afapi She'ein Raya L'Davar Zecher L'Davar. There's no raya, but there's some asmachta. What's the asmachta? If you combine two psukim in Nehemiah, you come out with the conclusion that night begins at seis and lasts till alos. One pasuk says that we're working all night, what, defending Yerushalayim, a nice pasuk. Another pasuk says we started working at seis hakochavim. So if you conflate those two psukim, we were working at night, we started working at seis hakochavim. So luckily, and this is a Gemara, or a team of Sukkim, the Gemara quotes in Megillah, a tandem of Sukkim, that Halachic Night begins at Seis HaKuchat. The Torah never tells us, interestingly enough, where Halachic Night begins. It's interesting. The Torah would never address that. It refers to Laila V'Yom, but it doesn't give us. Based on Nehemiah's behavior in Yerushalayim, we can cobble together the start of night, Seis HaKuchat. So the Gemara says in Brachos, it doesn't really tell us when to say Kriya Shema Seis HaKuchat. It just gives us a Smach L'davar. What do you mean? Why isn't it a raya? Why isn't it only a smach? We have two psukim in Nehemiah. One says we're working all night. One says that we're working after seis. Put them two and two together. Night begins at seis. And if Kriyat Shema is dead at night, we know that Kriyat Shema Shalavis has to begin at seis. It should only begin at seis. In fact, the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Chafam Beis, when it quotes this tandem of psukim for other night mitzvahs, it doesn't say it's only a smach, it's a raya. The Rambam says it's a raya. So when it comes to night mitzvahs, these two psukim in Nehemiah bring a raya that you can only start those mitzvahs at night. When it comes to Kriyat Shema, the Gemara doesn't use these two psukim as a raya for Zman Kriyat Shema beginning at seis, it just says it's a smach. So Tosfos, both in Brachos and in Megillah, raises this question, but Tosfos in Megillah is a lot more elaborate. Tosfos says in Megillah, source number one, Kasha, Hamrinim Brachos, this is Tosfos in Megillah, Seis HaKochavim, Lai Lafa Pishen, Rai L'davar, Zeich L'davar, Dechsev, the two psukim in Nehemiah. Whereas here in Megillah, when it talks about night mitzvahs, for example, Kitziras Omer, cutting the Omer, or Hekdech Halav Evarim, bringing Evarim, it says it's Mama Sharaya. The Yishlomer also says, it's also Ravia. The Yishlomer, the Hasam, Boi Lasuke, Dizman Shchiva, the Gavi Kriya Shema, Vitei Sekochavim. When it comes to regular formal mitzvahs like Kitziras Omer, or Hekdech Halavim, they are determined or dictated by night. We can look to Nehemiah to tell us when night begins. The answer is Tei Sekochavim. But Kriyat Shema is not a function of night. Kriyat Shema is a function of Zman Shchiva. So we can't bring a raya from Nehemiah about Zman Shchiva. We can only say that it just so happens that according to at least our Mishnah, Zman Shchiva happens to be parallel to the formal Tzeis HaKochavim. So we are able to identify what the Zman Shchiva is. It just so happens, at least according to the Mishnah, that Zman Shchiva begins during Tzeis HaKochavim, according to the time of the Mishnah. So we're not proving anything from Nehemiah, because Nehemiah is describing formal night and day. Our Mishnah is interested in hunting down Zman Shchiva, so it's not a raya, it's a smach l'davar. Again, Tosa says, because by Kriya Shema, the Gavi Zman Shchiva, Gavi Kriya Shema, it's Yisak L'chav, Shemachi Kamrin, and Hasam, the Ein Zaray Gemura. Mikom Akom, L'havi Zman Shchiva, L'chal Adam. So the fact that the Gemara is very shy about bringing a raya from Nehemiah possibly indicates that it's not really a halacha of night and day. As opposed to the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam source number one, at least many, many Rambams. It's hard to reconcile all the Rambams, but from this Rambam, it would appear that it is a din alayla v'yom. What does the Rambam say? Pamim b'chol yom, pamayim b'chol yom, karen kriya shema, ba'erev uva'boker, shenermar b'shach b'cha uv'kumecha, b'shah shederech ben adam shochvim, v'zehu layla, u'v'shah shederech ben adam omdin, zehu yom. Why does the Rambam add these suffixes, zehu layla, Zehu Yom? Some want to infer from the Rambam that he disagreed with at least Tosfos in Megillah. That according to the Rambam, Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis and Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis are really time stamped by day and night, and they're not tethered to Zman Shchiva and to Zman Kima. It could be that this issue is not just the machlokas rishonim. This is always reverse Brisker engineering. You see things clearly in rishonim, you go back to Tanayim. It could be that once we see this in the rishonim, we can look back to some of the conversations and the Tanayim say, oh, now we have better understanding about what Tanayim were discussing. So let's take an easy machlokas Tanayim, and we'll take a slightly harder machlokas Tanayim. We so far have spoken about the starting of Kriyas Moshe Lachos. At least one sheet that we've seen in the Mishnah, which happens to dovetail with Zman Shchiva. Zman Shchiva begins, Kohanim start eating Truma, that's when people went to sleep. Again, in those days, people went to sleep around Seis, they didn't have electricity. All right, when we think about a Masmid, we think about, I'm not going to point to anyone in this room, but you know who you are, who's in the Gush Beis Medrash till 1:30 in the morning. If you went back 400 years, the Masmid was, he got up at 2:30 in the morning, and he went to bed at 8. Oh, he's such a Masmid, he's going to bed at 8 o'clock. So then, oh my goodness, you're going to bed at 8 o'clock, you'd be embarrassed. You're a scoundrel. Right? Samuel Johnson said, only a scoundrel goes to bed before 8 o'clock. But in those days, the Masmid went to bed also. 8 o'clock, so they get up at 2 in the morning. So, Zman Shchiva happened to dovetail, because it was dark, what could they do? B'shash shakonim, ochle mitshuma tzeisek luchavim. What about the end time? It's around Kriyash Ma'amina Torah. So the first Mishnah has the Machlokas Tanoim, the end time. According to the first Shita, Ad Sof, line number 2 in the Mishnah, Ad Sof, Hashmur Rishon, Diver Belazer. Belazer says to the end of the first Hashmur, so the end of the first shift, if you divide the night into 3 shifts. Cham Ram and Chatzos, Cham say, we're Machmur at Chatzos, we'll leave the Cham on the side, and Gamil says, Ad Shiyala Mur HaShachar, till Alos HaShachar. So Rabbi Yoshua says, Simon Gamil says, Ad Shiyala Mur HaShachar, Belazer says, until the end of the first Hashmur, so Chachamim, the Gemara says, happened to Paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. Min Atara, Zman Kriyashma extends to the Los Hashacha, Shal Arvis, Midraban al Harchikas Adam in Avera. They bumped it back to Chatzos. Now, if we look at this machlokas between the fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and Gamliel, what's the end time for Zman Kriyashma Shal Arvis? It's clear that Rabbi Gamliel Shita makes more sense. Any mitzvah of the night, it begins at Seis and it ends at Alos. Alos, Neitz. Why in the world would a mitzvah end at the end of the third shift of the night? Where does that come from? So Rashi already explains it. Rashi on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, when he explains Rabbi Elazar Shita, it's Daf Dalet Amud Aleph towards the bottom. Ikur Rabbi Elazar Svirale de Isle, the Gemara is saying, do the Chacham Maholik Rabbi Elazar Gamliel, but now Rashi is commenting what Rabbi Elazar says, de Isle b'shach b'cha, kol zman shebnei adam oskim leilech v'lishkov, zemakdim v'zemiachar. And by the end of the Ashbura Rishona, the second Rashi, Devadai Kol Shadaito Lishan Kvar Shacha V'yashar. At least according to Velazar, people are not involved in going to sleep. They may sleep past the first Hashmaras, but they're not involved in preparing for sleep. They're not in the process of going to sleep. We'll think about this a little bit later. This could have been the machlokas between Velazar and Gamliel about self-Zman Krishma. I say could have, because Rashi doesn't say this. But if you're asking me, not necessarily Rashi, sounds like this is machlokas. So Gamliel held this Allah of Laila. Laila lasts until Allah says Shachar. So at the end time is Allah says Shachar. Belezer holds it in Zman Shchiva, and his mind, Zman Shchiva, is marked or delimited by the time that people are involved in going to sleep, which ends 1:30 into the night. Keep in mind, Rashi does not say it. When Rashi explains to Gamliel, who says, Zman Kriyashma is Allah's, he also quotes Zman Shchiva. So we're going to have to return to this Rashi. A second machlokas, Tanoim, about this issue pops out at us from that Beis and Midbeis. I mentioned the start time in the Mishnah, which is B'shash HaKonim Ochlim Mitchumasan, which correlates to Tzeis, but in the Gemara, that Beis and Midbeis, there are 2 or 3 brisos, and there's an explosion of possibilities. So first of all, the diversity of possibilities is stunning. You don't have this for any other mitzvah. Normally the mitzvah, there's a consensus about when the mitzvah begins. All of a sudden, with Zman Kriyashma, there are 4 or 5 different shiurim. So let's just see the different shitos on that Beis and Midbeis. Where it says as follows. We have the sheet of the Gemara, but the first brisa the Gemara quotes, it's about 10 lines down. Again, I'm not going to quote the brises in their context, why they were quoted, which kashas they're asked, just to see the shitos. It's the line that starts with the word bitrumasan, the second word is for mini. Maybe it's like Kronishma ba'arivin. For when an ani eats his meat, he eats his food, presumably an ani would eat earlier than most people. Most people would prepare a semi-lavish meal. An ani doesn't have much to prepare. He eats his bread, he eats his salt, so it's a little bit earlier, without trying to pin when it is. Then the Gemara says, Me'emasai. The line begins with Emasai a few lines later. When you start your meal in Erev Shabbos, which presumably could be even earlier than Shkia. That's the sheet of our Mishnah, more or less. Where it has a third brisa later on, about two-thirds of the way down of the Gemara. Is not the meal, but when you mekani Shabbos, Elazar v'shua shakonim mituarim, Rabbi Meir mem shashakonim tovlim, Rabbi Chananya mem shashanim nechaz lech opito, Rabbi Achoy v'amale Rabbi Acha mem shashirobin ed nechazim l'hasef. All of a sudden you've got an explosion of possibilities, five or six possibilities, when Kriyat Shema could begin. The Rashba quotes, source, I put it down, source number two, quotes of Haigon. There's a lot of Rav Haigon on Brachos. We have a lot of Gaonic statements on Brachos. A lot of Rishonim quoting Gaonim. A little bit in part because there's no Ramban on Brachos. I think that when there's no Ramban, so the Talmid of the Ramban felt a little bit more empowered and dependent upon the Gaonim. I was just in someone's house today, just passing through, and there was one of the Magide Sherem of Chevron. Whatever he was, he was collecting money, I guess. I didn't know why he was there. I said, we're schmoozing a little bit. I said, what are you learning? He told me his name. His name was Rav Yafan. So Rav Yafan is his uncle, his great uncle, wrote the Makaros, wrote the Ritva on Nedarim. So I was joking with him, because if you've ever seen the Ritva on Nedarim, it's written by Rav Yaakov Yafan, who was a tremendous Talmid Chacham. There are about two lines of Ritva and 500 lines of Makaros. So I said, oh, your great uncle wrote this, his Sefer on Nedarim with the Ritva as his footnotes. And the proportions, you know, the Ritva's two lines, and all of a sudden, he's explaining why his great uncle, he's a Magachir in Chevron. So anyway, so somehow he was talking to the person he was visiting, was saying, when there's no Ramban, it's just really hard to learn a sugya, right? So he was explaining the reason why his great uncle wrote so many footnotes on the Ritva on Nedarim, is because his mahalik of learning was that everything came from the Ramban. And even if a Rishon quotes the Ramban, but quotes the Ramban's five answers in a different sequence, that's indicative that Talmud held a little bit differently than the Ramban. Because these Rambans are panoramic, and when a Talmud is the Ramban. So I was telling him, well, I just gave Shir and Efrat on Sunday, and I was lamenting the fact that in Psachim, there isn't a Ramban, and it's so hard to learn without a Ramban, but Baruch Hashem in Psachim, we have Rabbeinu David, who is one of the Ramban's star Talmidim. This is only Bava Kama. I can't tell you how many times this year I've said, where's the Ramban? Where's the Ramban? He would address this. He would talk about it. Where's the Ramban? Of course, I say, where's the Ramban? A real brisker would say, geschmack, there's no Ramban. Now it's my turn, right? The briskers love hollow vacuums and shots because that invites brisker lundus, and you don't have to abide by that many parameters. I'd say Zachim is so inviting to briskers. He can't really disprove it or prove it because they're no Rishonim. And then it's like a fantasy land for Brisker Lumbus. Anyway, so what are we talking about there of Haigon? So the Rashba quotes of Haigon, okay, Mishim de Chalukasan Shalhani Rabban de Nechleku Bebraisa, Kol Chad Vachayet, Tlibi Divrei. So without going into all the Shitos, Reb Eliezer and Reb Yoshua, we're talking about the start time now, not the end time. Reb Eliezer and Machlokes are going to be about the end time. Reb Eliezer and Machlokes and Reb Yoshua about the start time in these Braises. So according to Reb Eliezer, it's Shkia. According to Reb Yoshua, it's Seis in these Braises. Those are, air quotes, normal shiurim, shkia and seis. All these other shiurim, when this one eats and that one eats in Shabbos, so what does he say? He says, Rebbe Chanin, it's line number six in the Rashba, delo talinan shiur betchilas halayla. All these other Tanai, Rebbe Chanin, Rebbe Acha, all these people that said, when this one eats and that one eats, they're not interested in layla, source number six. Elisha shchiva. It's about when people go to sleep. Namely, all these Rishonim are trying to quantify. It's manshchiva. We know what seis is. We know what shkia is. But when it comes to manshchiva, it's a little bit more elusive and also elastic. And that's why we have this explosion of shitas. So if Haigon drives a wedge between Reb Elazar and Reb Yoshua, who hold shkia and seis, respectively, and all these other Tanayim, who came up with some very creative star times for Zman Kriyashma. Okay, maybe I'll show you one other machlokas we've shown him that could help illustrate this, and then we'll move to the second part of Shul. We'll see how many parts we get to accomplish. But hopefully in your minds, I'm trying to trigger a thought process, why would Kriyashma be a function of Laila and Yom, and why would Kriyashma be a function of Zman Shchiv Zonkim? Once you quantify the what, like why? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu give this mitzvah or associate this mitzvah with an experiential time frame rather than a planetary time frame? Okay, so that's an interesting question to start thinking in the back of your minds. What makes Kriyat Shema different if it has a different time framing? So another possible nafka mina in the Rishonim stems from a Gemara on Daf Chesamid Beis. Gemara Daf Chesamid Beis quotes a brisa, one brisa in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and one brisa, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai quoting Rabbi Akiva. Without getting into the nitty gritty, the first brisa says that you can recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis after Alos HaShachar, even though normally Mitzvah HaLayla can't be performed after Alos HaShachar. Okay? And the, one second, let me just make sure I find the place. Right. And then Rabbi Akiva, in the second brisa, says that you can recite Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis before Nates, after Alos HaShachar. So in this period between Alos and Nates, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said you can recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Yekiva said you can recite Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. Why? Because it's a time that's, well, I wouldn't call it Banish Mashos, but it's a time that's a composite of both day and night. The question is, can you recite Kriya Shema Shel Shach Arvis and Shel Shacharis on the same day in this in-between period? We've happened to Paskin, most we've shown in Paskin, at least the Chachmei Sfarad Paskin, that we Paskin both like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and like Rabbi Akiva, which means that you can recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis between Alos and Nates, and you can recite Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis if you must between Alos and Nates, whether B'dievet or not, but at least B'dievet, it will work. Can you combine the two? Can you recite both? So the Rashba Paskins, yes. I think I quoted the Rashba for you here. The Rashba says, source number 5, near Lefarish, the Kula Kriya Shema Kamar. Okay. The Kriya de la Amarachmana Babok with Erev, El Shachbacha Vukumecha, Hilkach. Kivan de Rubadin Shiganu Adayin, Lila, since people still sleep after Alos, it's still night. The Kriya. Okay. End of the line 4, Mishindika Ktasin Shidekaimi, but some people get up early. Mehi Shaita, Velav Derech Mikra. Hilkach, line number 5, this is the key line. Havizman Shchiva, Vizman Kima, Mu'uravim Zebazah. It's a time frame in which some are still sleeping, some are arising. Of course, the Yeshiva boys are already up well in advance, right? Some are arising. I pulled the prank on everyone this year when we changed the clock. You know, the minyan is now at 8. I was waiting for people to come 2 weeks ago. We moved the clock forward. Oh, minyan is now at 6, right? Because we moved the clock forward, so. So if you have to take, right? So if minyan, so people are still sleeping, some people are waking up, and therefore it can be both. So the Rashba paskins, and on a particular day, if you're a little lazy and you forgot Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, you can recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis after Alos, and then right away recite, if you have to, you have to leave on a trip, Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis before Nates. The Ramban argues, it's quoted the Ramban, just to show a little Ramban here, 3 lines from the Ban of Muhammad, this is one long Muhammad in the first barak, Ha'ikar Shinirali, if you want, you could do one. Namely, you can recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis between Alos and Nates, and then Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis after Nates, or Kriya Shema Shel Arvis before Alos, and then Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis after Alos. But you can't recite both Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis between Alos and Nates. So Machlokes Ramban Rashba, even though we possibly like both, can you conflate the two into one day? It could be this is a machlokas. Ramban doesn't tell us why. The Rashba tells us why. You can combine, or you can merge Zman Shchivah Zman Kiyum. Some are getting up, some are going to sleep. Why did the Ramban allow that? Could be the Ramban formalized Kriya Shema. If you're formalizing Kriya Shema, then you can have a time period in theory which sometimes you can define as night and sometimes you can define as day. But if in one time, in one day, in one experience, you try to define it as both, what do we call that? Tadid Sasri. It's like Plaga Mincha Til Shkia. You can call it afternoon and daven mincha. You can call it evening and daven maariv according to Yehuda, but you can't do both. It's either day or night. So it could be that this mimics the same resistance to doubling up on plaga mincha till shkia. The Ramban refused to double up between Alos and Nates. You've got this elastic time, but you can't define it as each on one day. You can choose on Monday to call it night and on Tuesday to call it day, but on the same day you can't call it both. Again, it's hard to know because Ramban didn't explain to us why he resisted this doubling up. But the Rashba clearly allowed doubling up because of Zman Shchiva and Zman Kima, Mu'urafim Sebazah. So this is the first question. The first question is it formally night and day? Or is it Zman Shchiva and Zman Kima oriented, the phrase Beis Hillel used? The concept that seems to be emerging from the Chachamim who are choosing very irregular start times that we never find anywhere else in Halacha. And it could be that this is a Machlokas or Megamliel, and Rabbi Eliezer about the end time. Rabbi Gamliel says the end time, at least Menatara, is normal Alos. So it's according to Rabbi Eliezer, the end time is when people stop their nocturnal going to sleep activity. And it could be, this is a machlokas Tosfos in the Rambam, Tosfos explaining why the Pesukim and Nechemiah don't provide a proof, it's just a remez. The Rambam actually using the words Lailenyam. Okay, this is the classic Lamdas and Brachos. Anyone who learns Brachos, not anyone, but more or less should be attuned to some of this. But then there you start to find a different Mahalach, especially if you break from Laila and Yom, especially if you break from this and you move over to Zman Shchiv and Zman Kippah. If you own Zalach, Zman Shchiv and Zman Kippah. One way to say it is that there are time frames within which you have to Mekayim the Mitzvah. The normal time frames that are Mechayiv you the Mitzvah, within which you have to Mekayim the Mitzvah, are day and night. Here they're not, as I said before, planetary time frames, but they're experiential or behavioral time frames. So Zman Shchiva begins at a certain point, it ends at a certain point. Zman Kippah begins at a certain point, it ends at a certain point. Those are the time frames that are mechayev you towards the mitzvah. The problem starts in the Rambam. If you take the Rambam, the Rabbeinu Tam, and you can look back at some Tanaim, it sounds like this may be something, maybe something else is happening. And this is going to lead us to a very fascinating why question, I hope. When the Rambam lists the mitzvahs of Kriyat Shema, he lists them as one mitzvah. So source number 3, Aleph, I made a Fetorshi, I had a few other seats that have come to update the numbers. 3, Aleph, the Rambam says, mitzvahs aseh achas, v'hi likros Kriyat Shema pamayim b'yom. To use the phrase of the Rishonim, why are the two Kriyat Shemas different from two tefillins? Tefillin Shayat, Tefillin Shorosh are separate mitzvahs, and Amakev, separate mitzvahs and minyan mitzvahs, why should Kriyat Shema be different? Same thing in the Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvos Aseh, Likros Kriyat Shema B'chol Yom Arvus V'Shachris, two Amiros, two Mitzvos, two time frames. How could you count them as one mitzvah? So put that in the back of your head, that it may be one mitzvah even though you recite it two times. Let's take a look at a very famous Tosfos in the beginning of the Masechta, in which the North European Rishonim tried to salvage the minhag of davening early and Shabbos in the summer, right? The people who lived in Spain didn't have that problem. It was a little more southerly. But the Baalei HaTosfos had a real issue. And of course, the Gaonim started to talk about it, but it really came to the fore in France, in England, in places north of France and England, where in the summer, Shkia could be 9:30, 10:30, even 11 o'clock, and you can't make the family wait up, so you have to daven early. If you daven early, what do you do about Kriyat Shema? Maariv is not a problem, because we can possibly could be here. They can daven Maariv from Plag HaMincha, whatever Plag is. But Kriyat Shema is in the first Mishnah, it's Eisa Kochavim. So there's a classic case where Rishonim were so respectful of Minhagim, they tried to find ways to justify Minhagim, right? Who is the great Minhag defender in the 19th century? Right? Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan is always looking for a way to defend Minhagim. Because it's a Minhag Yisrael halacha right there. I forget when I was having this conversation, I think with the girls or something, the other way, gift. Imagine halacha as a three-leg table. There's halacha, there's minhag, and there's something called masara. You have to be able to differentiate between the three. Halacha is pure halacha. Minhag is customs that are drawn from halacha. They're not just on anger. They're we're machmir kitnias, we're machmir this, we're making all this, and masara is the way we do things now. That's also a descending scale of importance. Halacha is more important than minhag. Minhag is more important than masara. But all three have to be factored in. So I think today when people say the word masara, a lot of halachaists and briskers roll their eyes. What do you mean it's a masara? Define it better. No, it's masara, and masara creates belonging, and belonging creates identity. And if you sever belonging, you truncate or you limit identity. It's harder for people to belong. And I'll just give you an example. I cite this all the time. A lot of boys at some point, mitzvah shem, you're going to get engaged, you know, start to plan your home. So very often young couples will come and ask me and say, Rebbe, what would you say about my wife making hamotzi or kiddush? I mean, it's from a pure halachic standpoint, it's legitimate. If we're looking to give my wife a voice and religious voice in the house, so maybe this is an appropriate decision. So I'll say two things. First of all, from a purely halachic standpoint, it is completely, completely legit. And not only that, I'll be happy to eat at your table. There's nothing, assuming the food is good. So if you invite me, I won't make faces, I won't wince, it's perfectly legit. I just want you to realize that you may be paying a price in Masara. Why? Because the way Shabbos is depicted throughout our literature, stories, kids and gone, is the setup of the family house Friday night is the mother lights candles and the father makes hamotzi in Kiddush. And that's what your son or daughter is going to be hearing and gone and in school and reading about. And it's going to be harder for your child to feel belonging to our people because when they come home Friday, it's going to be a little different. So you have to decide. You have to weigh those two factors. If we're halacha, I'd say no. If it's a minhag, I'd say half no. You can't really change a minhag. When it comes to masara, you may want to change a masara, but anytime you change a masara, you pay a price of disconnecting from the past. So you have to know how much to accent belonging in masara and how much to accent changing the masara. It's an important question. I just feel like sometimes people don't have the vernacular, the vocabulary to talk about the issue in a sophisticated manner and can see that there's value on both sides. I think a lot of people that are very strict legalists, what do you mean it's masara? Once it's masara, it's not halacha, we can change it. Just know things have to be done. And generally, if masara changes, it's a question of how and what pace and at what stage and what's the sociological framing. And it's a much more subtle question. It's an important question to be aware of. Anyways, I know we're talking about that. So the question of plaga mincha, right? Plaga, it's very tight. Plaga mincha, so davening on Shabbos. So Beinatam and Abbezim and Aleph, the Beinatam gave the following answer. Beinatam said, I'll just paraphrase the answer. I mean, he'll tell us this. Beinu Tam says, we pass in the Kippi Huda, Plaga Mincha, night starts. Everyone asks, what does that mean anything? Plaga Mincha is the start of night for Tfilas Maariv based on Korbanos. How does that affect Kriyashma? Just because it's night for Tfilah doesn't mean it's night for Kriyashma. It's night for Tfilah. It could be a night for Tfilah because Tfilah is based on Korbanos and Plaga Mincha has a certain importance in the world of Korbanos. Why should that justify saying Kriyashma? That's a famous Kasha of Beinu Tam. You can spend 3 hours providing all the answers. The Rav Zatzal started to define it in the following way. I'm going to take it a little bit further. The Rav said that though after Plaga Mincha is not halachic night, it is the part of the day that we start thinking about the next day. It's not literally night, but we can already start to access the next day. And if there are halachos that don't require night, but just require somehow addressing the next day, those halachos can apply after Plaga Mincha. So for example, the obvious one is Sfiras Omer. Is Sfiras Omer did in night, or is Sfiras Omer did in counting? And until I get to the next day, my counting is off. If I count now, oh, it's the second day of the Omer, it's ridiculous. So until I get to an access point or some contact with the next day, my Sfiras Omer is incompatible, it's unsuitable. Or Ner Hanukkah, the same thing with Ner Hanukkah. Do you have to wait for the second night for Ner Hanukkah, or do you have to wait for when that second night is already on the horizon or the second day? It's really not a din in night. Halacha is a din in night, to wait for night. Ner Hanukkah is a din in day. I just have to get to the starting point of the day. And the starting point of the day, when the day can already be addressed, is possibly Plaga Mincha. The Rav quoted several halachos that b'di'evad you can start with Plaga Mincha. You can see it in the Sefer. It's Megillas Esther, and Ner Hanukkah, and Sfiras Omer. Here are a list of halachos he quoted from Shulchan Aruch. And the Rav wanted to justify in the Beinu Tam that if Kriya Shema may not be a din in night, it's a halacha that we just have to address the next day. The Rav didn't explain why we have to address the next day. Why is that relevant for Kriya Shema? It's relevant for Sfiras Omer because it's up to count, and once the next day is within eyeshot, I can start addressing it. But why is it relevant for Kriya Shema? So here's my idea. I think I saw it alluded to in this Sefer or that Sefer, but I haven't seen it in the Brisker world. Like, I didn't see Rav Aaron talk about it. But it's already something which appears in a fascinating section of the Hakadama of the Iglei Tal. When the Iglei Tal, Rav Aaron Bornstein, wrote his Hakadama, he wrote in the end of his Hakadama, he quoted his father. He wanted a nice shout out to his father, so he quoted a Torah here from his father. I don't know who his father was, but you probably wiki it. So Sacha Shava Rav, he quoted his father. I wouldn't have enough time to go into his Rayos, but he claims as follows. I'll allude to it in general. The Gemara parallels Zman Kriya Shema with the time that Kohanim can start to eat Truma. It seems like it's just an analogous parallel. Just like Truma starts at Tzeis HaKochavim or Shkia at Machlokes Tanayim, similarly, Truma leaves at Tzeis HaShkia, the same thing with Kriya Shema. It can begin at Shkia or Tzeis according to the different Tanayim. But according to the Rashba, we're not going to read it, sounds like no. That just like Rabbi Eliezer learns that Tuma passes in Shkia, that Pasuk teaches us when Zman Kriya Shema is. And when Gamliel learns that Tuma passes at Tzeis HaKochavim, that Pasuk teaches us Zman Kriya Shema. How can you learn from a Pasuk about when Tuma ends, about Kriya Shema? You can say, oh, from the Pasuk, I can learn that Tuma ends at Shkia, Tuma ends at Tzeis, and it's like a nice remez. But it's a pasuk about Tumah, Vashemesh V'tar. It's a machlokes tanaim. How you interpret the pasuk, Vashemesh V'tar? Does it mean Shkia the Chitar, or it means Tzeis? So I'll paraphrase Iglei Tal's father for you, and then we'll see it in a second. It's an amazing, to me, it's a transformative idea. He says, the halach of Kriya Shema is not to recite Kriya Shema. This is the, to me, this is the we're looking for. This is the core of the shiur. The mitzvah of Kriya Shema is not recital. What's the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. What's the mitzvah? To be in a state of content, Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. It's a mitzvah that defies time stamping. Lulav can be stamped to a particular time. Nerchana can be stamped to a particular time. I can say you're chayit mekabel Malchus Shemayim twice a day. It's ridiculous. The chiv is not to be mekabel. The chiv is to be, and to be is a constant state. You have a chiv to be. We have a chiv to be mekabel, to be mekabel or mekubel, miskabel Malchus Shemayim the entire day. Shema refreshes that state of being tachas Malchus Shemayim. At a certain point, your Kabbalah will end, will expire, and you'll have to refresh it. That's why there's an old Masara from the Ari, one of the Talmidim of the Ari. That's why there's no Kriya Shema Shel Mincha. Because the Kriya Shema Shel Shachris lasts through Mincha, because nothing has changed between Shachris and Mincha. So there's no need to refresh it. And the state of Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim, which the Kriya Shema Shel Shachris introduced, still exists. The halacha of Kriya Shema is not to recite Kriya Shema, to be in a state of Malchus Shemayim. However, when I switch into a new chapter, my Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim fades and I have to refresh it by another recital of Kriya Shema. And that's why, according to Rav Haigon, you can learn out the Zman Kriya Shema from Tumah, just like halacha will tell us when Tumah ends, when the Chaloshim Tumah ends. Either Chaloshim Tumah ends at Shkir or Chaloshim Tumah ends at Seis. I can learn from when the Chaloshim Tumah fades, when the Chaloshim Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim fades. You're creating a state of being. When does that state end? They need refreshing. Let me show you this. It's a really, really, to me, it's a game changer. It's not digitized, but it's the last source. He quotes his father, Moisi, Lekayim Ben Yechabed Av, Lichtav, Sicha, Sifri, Dava Masha, Shemati, Yechavad, Adoni, Avi, Mari, Rabbi, Zatzal, Befir, Shemish, Nebrachas, Me'emasai. He asks the whole question, how could you learn it? So he says, Yomar of Adoni Avi, line number 3, Dinyan Har of Shemesh, Etzricha, Tara, Dav, Achashetav, Amekom, Akom, Sheachashay, Tameh, Beosayom, Nishama Roshim Atumah. He's using Hasidic language. Change the word Roshim into Chalos. The Tumah lasts until it expires. The Chalos Shem passes with the passing of time into a new chapter. You're not thinking the whole day during Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim. You're going to come Nishama Roshim as Malchus Shemayim Kol Yom. V'erev Shema Yom Achar Nistali Gam Roshima. It's Erech Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim Mechadash. An kan devara perishchach. Namely, zman shchiva and zman kima doesn't mean you are in a new time frame and you have a new mitzvah. Zman shchiva, zman kima means you have passed through a transformative moment in your day that requires a refreshing of your Kriya Shema. You've passed into a new chapter of your day. It's now no longer zman kima, it's zman shchiva, you have to refresh your Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim. It's now no longer zman shchiva, it's zman kima, you have to refresh your Malchus Shemayim. That's why the Rambam holds it's one mitzvah. How many mitzvahs are there? One mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim. How many actions do I have to take to make sure my Malchus Shemayim is updated? Twice. At every transition point, I have to recite a Shema to reinstate the Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim because they've entered a new period. And that's why the Rambam could call it one mitzvah. And that's why, according to Rabbeinu Tam, according to Rabbi Soloveitchik, I don't need night. I just need I time during the day when I'm already starting to think about night and referencing night because I've already transitioned into a new period. And by transitioning into a new period, I have to refresh my Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim. Namely, said a little differently, let's assume that Kriya Shema is not Laila V'Yom. Let's assume it's Zman Shechiva, Zman Kima. Is that behavioral time as opposed to planetary time? When the behavioral time period is Zman Shechiva, you're Chayiv in Shema. And behavioral period of time is Zman Kima, you're Chayiv in Shema. Or is there one mitzvah Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim, and as you cycle to different experiential moments and you transition from one point to another, you have to refresh your Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim with the new Kriya Shema? It's not Zman Shechiva that's Mechayiv or Zman Kima that's Mechayiv. It's Zman Shechiva that represents a transitional point, and now you have to refresh your Kriya Shema. I believe this could help solve the Rambam. I believe it helps understand why the Rebbeinu Tam was makil, that even though it's not night for anything else, it's already starting to think about the next day, so you're already transitioning into a new experience. I believe this is one way to solve all these tanaim. Remember we said that in the Torah it says, B'shachmecha v'kumecha, and the Gemara says it's man shchiva. Yet you see all these tanaim that are talking about not shchiva, but eating. When an ani eats, when a rich person eats, when you're in Erev Shabbos, how all of a sudden the Zman of Kriya Shema more from Zman Shchiva to Zman Achila? So one way to say is that when the Ani eats, people are starting to go to sleep. It just happens to be a tag. It could be that if the Chiyav of Zman Shchiva is not a time period defined by Shchiva, but a transition point, and the Torah describes Shchiva as the transition point, these are the 2 days, 2 times in the day that we transition. So the Tanaim said, well, in our society, people transition even before they go to sleep. When they eat dinner, they're transitioning to another period. Now, why the Torah didn't talk about Achila, the Torah talked about Shchiva is a different question. But the ability of the Tanaim to translate Zman Shchiva into Zman Achila is because they didn't see it as a time period, it's Mechayev Kriya Shema. They saw it as, now that you're transitioning into a new period, now you have to refresh your Kriya Shema. And transitioning changes with societal norms. And once people decide to transition to the next stage of their life by early eating, then that transition point is already Mechayev Kriya Shema and allows you to say Kriya Shema. So if you want to, we have a piece of chalk here just to give you a quick little table.
Okay.
I'll draw it with my hands in the air. One question is it Zman Shchiva or Zman Kima, or is it Laila V'Yom? We saw the Rambam uses Laila V'Yom. The Ramban may have felt Laila V'Yom. If it is Zman Shchiva and Zman Kima, it's not Halacha Laila V'Yom, what's the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah behavioral time being Mechayev Kriya Shema? Or Kriya Shema is not something you're Chayev to perform. Kriya Shema is just the regenerator of a state of Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim. And when you transition to the next state, you have to refresh it. So a mincha doesn't require Kriya Shema because it hasn't been a transition point. And the transition points don't have to be Shchiva. But being that the mitzvah is to constantly refresh Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim, then the Rambam could call it one mitzvah. And the Beinu Tam could tell us that once you start thinking about the next moment, the next day, you can already start the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Just to finish, because there's a whole third mahalik, but it's going to be a little bit too lengthy. You know, guys have classes and shiurim. Another way to view the machlok is Rashba and the Ramban. Getting back to that machlok is, can you recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis and Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis together on one day between Alos and Nates? Could be this question. Earlier I analyzed that, again, we don't know why the Ramban was so resistant. The Rashba makes so much sense. It's Zman Shchiva and Zman Kima Muravim. Between Alos and Nates, some people are still sleeping, some people are getting up. Say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis and Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. What's wrong? Why is the Ramban opposed? Big question. So one way to understand the Ramban's opposition is because the Ramban sees it as Laila V'Yom, and defining the same period on the same day as Laila and Yom would be a Tarat disaster. Could be the Ramban held like this Mahalach. The Rashba held Zman Shchiva is Mechayev Kriya Shema, Zman Kima is Mechayev Kriya Shema. There could be one time that's both. Zman Shchiva is Zman Kima Mura. Ramban said it's not Zman Shchiva that's Mechayev. It's as you go through a transition, you refresh your Kriya Shema. But you can't ever recite two Kriya Shemas within the same pre-transitional stage. So I passed Alos HaShachar. Let's go backwards. Tonight, let's say, Chas HaShem, I don't say Kriya Shema until after Alos HaShachar. So I'm going to pass Seisach HaChavim tonight. I have to refresh my Kriya Shema. I haven't refreshed my Kriya Shema, but you know what? The night lasts until the day, so my Chiv to refresh Kriya Shema, I can still perform the Chiv that I should say. What's Shkia tonight? 8 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever. What's Shkia tonight? 7 o'clock. So the chiyav I have tonight at 7 o'clock, if I'm delayed, I can say tomorrow at whatever Alos HaShachar is, at 5:30, after Alos HaShachar. But then at 5:45 tomorrow, I can't say Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis, because since I'm still between Alos and Nates, I haven't transitioned into another period. So having transitioned, there's no chiyav to refresh Kriya Shema. You can never, ever recite two Kriya Shemas within the same time frame, because a whole renewed Kriya Shema is because you've transitioned into a different period. And I therefore can't collapse two Kriya Shemas into one period between Alos and Nes because the new Kriya Shema has to be triggered by a new transition point. So the Ramban's resistance to scheduling two Kriya Shemas in one period could be based because he hyperformalizes it, it can't be day or night, or it could be because he doesn't see it as related to time, it relates to human experience, and I go through transitional moments, and between Alos and Nes, I haven't yet transitioned, because I reset a Kriya Shema Shel Arvis after Alos. How can I say Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis before Nes? Nothing has happened. The next frontier to the shir is, if we feel that it's experiential, is it experiential based on time once you transition into a new time or based on activity? When I want to refresh Kriya Shema, it's because I'm in a new chapter of my life or because I'm in a new action of my life. And that would all of a sudden switch a lot of the emphasis of Kriya Shema to Kriya Shema Shel Mita, or at least Kriya Shema being said close to the Mita. If we feel that it's not Laila V'Yom, but it's Zman Shchiva, and we feel it's not time being Mechayiv, but transitioning to another period, is there something to say Kriya Shema, not in the time that normally I go to sleep, but while I'm going to sleep? and how would that change the mitzvah of Kriya Shema for Kriya Shema Shomita, for how long you could say Kriya Shema. But that's already an entirely new frontier.
Beishamah?
Beishamah, that would be the extreme version to say when you're lying down, but even if we roll back Beishamah, you don't have to lie down, the attempt to make it, it's Shitas Reb Shua Ben Levi, you know, the Abdallah of the base, just like in the morning, we want Kriya Shema Samach L'mitaso, similarly at night, we want Kriya Shema Samach L'mitaso, even at the cost of Gula L'tfila. So you say Kriya Shema after Shemot Esrei. So that's already the third, but I want you to see how, I've heard a lot of people make that first division. Laila Vayom versus Man Shechivah Zman Kima. Push further. If it's Man Shechivah and Kima, to me, there are too many machloksin in the Rishonim to just slot into this large question of formality versus non-formality. The non-formal approach itself has a lot of depth to it and a lot of resonance that has to be unfurled. And some of the Rishonim can help you get to that a little bit more deeply than just saying Laila Vayom. I remember learning the sugi the first time, and I felt very frustrated. I felt there was so much more to the sugi, and I couldn't break out of formal versus Man Shechivah Zman Kima. And part of that was I wasn't defining Zman Shechivah Zman Kima properly. I was just using it as a lazy definition, as an antonym to Laila Vayom. Whereas Man Shechivah can mean different things. It can mean a behavioral time period. It can mean there's a new period that you have to refresh your Zman Kriya Shema. Or it can mean to say Kriya Shema while you're involved in some activity. And obviously we feel that Kriya Shema is the type of mitzvah that shouldn't be time-stamped to a particular area. It's not Mitzvah Lulav and Mitzvah Kriya Megillah, which can be limited to a certain time frame. Okay, so any questions? In regards to Yeshiva, Yeshiva is very empty now. The Shana Bet Boys, Shir Bet Boys just left 2 nights ago. So I don't know if you saw there was a Facebook they put up that we danced with them Shem Malkei. So if anyone wants to come back for the summer, you have a lot of seats available. Shir Dalit isn't back yet. They said March, and then they said May, and then they're saying June, and we don't know when. But Shir Dalit isn't back yet. Basically, the army keeps Hesder Nicks as long as they can because Milo Imnikim have to be paid real salaries because they have real salaries that they're giving up, and also they're less well trained and less physically fit. So as long as you're in the 5-year Hesder program, you're officially a soldier, which under normal conditions doesn't mean a big deal. Like, what's the big deal? But under war condition means you're a soldier and you don't get paid any money to fight. And that's why all the Hesdernikim are in the army straight there. Again, save for a little rest and, you know, relaxation here or there. So Dalad's in, Gimel's in, Beis is in. So it's a very, very young yeshiva. Shir Aleph. And Shana Alv and Shana Ben, and many of the Hay boys are back, and obviously all the people are back also. The good news is there are 16 boys that are drafting this year at Tetzal, so 16 boys from Shana Ben. And as far as I can tell, I don't know the whole roster, but most, if not all of them, right, you can back me up, I had decided before, because of the war, there's like a trend.
I'd say like 12 or
13. I think most of the trend, because there's a lot of trending towards Eretz Yisrael during the war, people making Aliyah, people joining the army, people, so our expectation are the next year there'll be even a larger group, because it's a very large Shana Aleph, about 64 words with a Shana Aleph. Next year is a little bit smaller Shana, about 45, so we'll even out next year in Eretz Yisrael. So take pride that we're doing our best to save Am Yisrael, to protect Am Yisrael, and continue to daven for Chayalim, and continue to have pride in the yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, we're able to keep the yeshiva going. Learning went well, Bava Kama went well, and I encourage you just to continue to draw from the strength of the yeshiva, in particular Rav Meidan, who, as you know, his son, and the one incredibly traumatic and tragic experience, and just to see Rav Meidan and the way he comports himself, and see his son, and just to continue to take everything you can from the yeshiva and its role in the story. Okay? Shkoch to Ezra.
Can we take a quick picture?
Sure.
Wait, everyone just quickly go up front. And we're
back. Nice day seating. I'm very tired.
Yeah.
And I think I will save a piece of pizza. I haven't eaten all morning.